Poorly Read.
Hello, welcome to this week's episode of Poorly Read.
Yes, the podcast where we take you through the glue-making process. In the words of Eddie Izzard, pas de cheval, beaucoup de glue.
All right, I don't know what that was.
That's how I'm going to start my things from now on. Just say what podcast we aren't.
No, I mean the Eddie Izzard thing.
Oh, there's this Eddie Izzard sketch where he talks about going to France.
Not a horse, lots of glue.
Yeah. Once a horse is gone, lots of... that's how they make glue out of horse's feet.
Is it?
Oh, you didn't know that?
No.
Oh, okay.
That's why I didn't get it.
Yeah, I don't know if it's still how they do it, but for years that's what they used to do, is turn horses' feet into glue.
Huh.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah. To all our French listeners, found that highly entertaining.
I'm sure they did.
Yeah. They're able
to decipher it through the English.
Yeah, I heard three words on this podcast, and they made me laugh a lot. Beaucoup. Beaucoup de love.
Also, I'm just now realizing I don't know what the French word for glue is.
Glue.
Le glue.
Or like adhesive or something like that.
Yeah. I wonder. La colle.
Colle. Oh, yeah, because baton de colle is a prick stick. I always remember in French, the only things I remember from French are the things in my pencil case. And well, I remember like three things in my pencil case, like une règle, une gomme.
Oh, yeah.
Un stylo. There you go. And then we had to learn this song about a boy whose plimsolls wore through on a long journey. And I remember it went like, un kilometre à pied, ça usa, un kilometre à pied, ça usa un peu plus. Like that.
Ça usa?
Yeah, I probably pronounced all of that wrong.
Well, and... I got all the words except for usa.
Oh.
I don't know what that means. It some things, I guess.
Mm.
A kilometre on foot. Some things.
Maybe it hurts.
It hurts, yeah, but that's not a word for hurts.
Maybe that was what they... Oh, I can't make that joke. let's move on.
All right.
Those kind of things are only okay when Hermione says it, Tom.
Yes.
How do we begin?
I thought we began with a song.
Order of the Phoenix. It kind of rings my bell. So put it in my pocket like a little shell.
Nailed it.
Really, you're meant to come up with the fourth line.
Well,
actually,
this is it. So you say, because I've, you know, done it before, but I haven't really. All I've gone is thought of the word that I thought you're going to work to.
Maybe I should always try and make them sexy.
Okay.
What can I rhymed bell with? Order of the Phoenix kind of rings my bell. So put it in my back door. I swear I'll never tell.
There we go. That's the one. That's the official one for this episode. All right, we begin with chapter 22. St. Mungo's Hospital for Magical Maladies and Injuries.
So do you know that St. Mungo's is a real thing?
No.
Yeah, it's a homeless charity.
Oh, you know what? Now you say that, I think I have seen that about.
I was like, that's weird. And it was founded in like 86, I think, or something like that. So it was before the book was written. So I wondered why she... I get the feeling she wrote the book thinking that she'd
invented
that.
It was a thing she'd made up, yeah.
But she'd actually like read it or seen it before. Because she used to work in like humanitarian... thing, so she probably came across it and didn't remember it.
Yeah.
Because otherwise, why would you use the name of a thing that was actually a thing?
Yeah,
like that?
I think it must have been one of those things that you think you made up and then find out later that you're a charlatan and a fraud.
Yeah. So Harry and Ron follow McGee to the headmaster's office.
Yes, they
do. Do you remember that show, The Demon Headmaster?
Yeah.
Yeah, I just thought of that. I never watched it because it used to be on like... either before or after Aquila, if you remember that one.
I do. They
Aquila
got one
was
of the,
sick.
One of the, I think the one with the floppy hair went to my school.
Really?
Yeah.
What, while he was doing that?
No, well, he was too many years above me for me to have been at the school at the same time as
right,
him,
because
we only have 4 years in each school where I'm from.
Right.
But yeah.
Wow.
I know people who knew him.
That's so cool.
I know. I thought it was the coolest thing in the world.
Yeah.
Because not, you know, it wasn't real people that were on TV. It was just TV people.
I wonder what he's doing now. He's probably trying to get a podcast up and running, Tom.
Yeah, probably. Yeah. Listening to this being like, that guy went to my school.
I hope we made you feel special for a day. Now you can go back to watching reruns of your show.
Now we can go back to making you feel inadequate.
Yes. We don't even know your name. Oh, God. Yeah.
You still rocking those floppy curtains? Or I wonder how much of our audience knows what a quiller is.
I reckon anyone who's our age and grew up in England.
Yeah.
Because you just were, there's like, because back in our day, there was nothing to do but watch those like four channels.
I guess so, yeah. Blue Peter.
Yeah, bring and buy sale.
Always turn it over to CITV when Newsround came on.
Yeah. Although Newsround was where I first heard about Harry Potter.
Was it?
Yeah, they did a report on Harry Potter book 4, and I was like, what the fuck is Harry Potter?
It got to book 4 by that time. Wow.
I don't know. No one in my class was reading it or anything like that, or not reading it at school anyway.
To be fair, my mum read it before me.
Really?
And then, yeah, I guess it had become a bit of a thing, a bit of a phenomenon, and she was reading the first one, and we were on holiday while she was reading it, and I had also like vaguely heard about it, I think, and I was like, oh, you're reading Harry Potter? I want to read that, because when you're a kid, you just claw after anything that's even remotely popular.
And was this like book 1 or 2?
While I started reading the first one, and the third book was like out and available, because I read 1, 2, 3, but I got the third book in hardback.
Oh, okay.
And then I got the fourth book. The fourth book, Goblet of Fire, was like new, like me getting the new Harry Potter book, because I wanted to read it.
Wow. Yeah, I didn't get into it until the summer that book 5 came out.
Hmm.
So quite a few years after even seeing that Newsround report. I was just so staunchly against it.
Really?
Yeah, because I was really into like Buffy and like Charmed and all that kind of stuff. So I thought Harry Potter was like the kid version of that kind of thing. And I was like, no, I'm too grown up for that.
Right, yeah.
And then my mum went on holiday and I'd seen the first two films and I said to my friend, look, can you lend me the third book just because I haven't got anything to do? So I borrowed it and I was like, this is fucking amazing. I was staying up like every night to read it. Just thinking back, it fills me with so much joy because I can remember the feeling of being so...
Well, did you read the third book first?
No, I'd seen the first two films.
Oh, right.
So I said to my friend, can you give me the third book? But yeah, I'd never been so like enraptured by a book before that.
Yeah, me neither. Mm. I'd barely read any book. I'd never voluntarily read a book.
You could say, Tom, you were poorly read.
Hey. Ah. But yeah, I really don't think I had ever voluntarily read a book before that.
Wow.
Not really. Not since I was so young that I used to, like, pretend.
I wish I could rediscover them all for the first time.
I know. It's like I never quite have managed to get that with another series again. It's like I'd be, you know, reading a, like, fantastical series that I'm into and it's really good, but I'm like, it's not Harry Potter.
I wonder if it's an age thing.
Maybe.
I think maybe we read Harry Potter at the perfect age where we could experience that kind of heightened response to it.
Yeah. And because like we grew up, I mean, I did anyway, and especially it kind of like compounded with the fact that his description was literally a description of me.
Yeah.
Like down to everything except the glasses.
Mm.
I never wore glasses, but lanky kid, pale skin, dark hair, dark messy hair that stands up uncontrollably, green eyes. I was like, this is fucking me. And I was like the age of Harry as I was kind of reading the books and the books were coming out.
Wow.
Like, you know, more or less.
Mm.
So yeah, I guess maybe there won't be anything that will kind of grab me in that same way.
Yeah. Alas, that's what this podcast is all about, eh?
Yeah.
Yeah, rehashing childhood memories and shitting all over them. Right, so anyway, they make their way to Dumbledore's office, him and Ron.
Accompanied by McGee, who gives the password, Fizzing Wisby.
Yeah, I like that. Don't know what Fizzing Wisby is.
I imagine it like, you know, the shitty sweets that no one wanted, the like flying saucers?
Yeah.
They were basically just sherbet wrapped in paper that you could eat. They were just awful. Like those, but that fly around.
Yeah, okay.
You got to catch out of the air with your mouth.
Yeah, I like that.
And then they're not good sweets, but it's still fun to catch them.
Yeah, it's just fun to open your mouth and see what goes inside, I guess.
Yeah,
add a blindfold in.
Moderate disappointment again.
So they get to the door of Dumbledore's office and they hear a ton of voices inside.
Yes, and that are immediately silenced by McGee's knock.
Yes. Rat-a-tat-tat. Rat-a-tat-tat. No, no, no. Julius,
I have no idea what you're
doing. There isn't any room and you can't stay here. There isn't any room for strangers. Because the wind may be chill and the night may be dark and be full of... No, that's wrong. The wind may be chill and the summit something kills and be full of nasty noises in the dark and dangers. No, there isn't any room. There isn't any room. There isn't any room for strangers. That's a song from a nativity play when Jesus...
I guessed it was a Mary and Joseph thing.
Ah, so yeah, they knock on the door.
The anti-Semitism.
That's going to show you that registering people is an age-old practice. And that's probably the only time it might have led to something good. So yeah, she rat-a-tat-tats and Dumbledore opens up and he's like, no, no, no.
And McGonagall was like, oh, stop it, I haven't got time. Not this again.
Yeah, so she kicks the door open, lifts up her skirts.
And virgin births all over us.
Oh, fucking hell.
Dumbledore's like, I knew it.
Minerva, amniotic fluid doesn't come out of carpets. I told you this before.
The headmasters and their frames will nod in agreement, like, oh, yes, this is well known.
Yes, try, quite.
Try it and test it in this office.
You see, Dumbledore got a job as a backdoor abortionist during the summer.
So Harry tells Dumbledore all about his dream.
Yeah.
Dumbledore won't look at him.
Yeah, Dumbledore has a pair of sunglasses on and a bag over his head.
And a white cane.
And I was like, what happened, headmaster? He's like, well, one of my abortions went horribly wrong.
Turns out amniotic fluid wouldn't come out of eyes either.
Well, don't worry, I powered on and I finished it. She's buried in the garden.
Naturally.
Yeah, and Dumbledore like leans back in his chair and he's like, can I ask how you saw this?
Oh, yeah, and the first Harry's like, well, I don't fucking know, you idiot. That's why I'm here.
Yeah, it's like, in my head, I was dreaming it. And Dumbledore's like, you miss... understand.
Harry just rolls his eyes like, fuck's sake. Why do I want this guy to talk to me?
Yeah, anything to get more fucking screen time.
Yeah.
And he's like, did you see this from the side or from maybe above, like watching it from a bird's eye view?
Oh, yeah. And then Harry's immediately like, oh, God, he knows. Yeah. That's such a weird question.
Yeah. And Harry's like, no, like, I was the snake.
Mm.
The snake was me. We were together. Forever.
I was in the snake.
First, the snake was in fucking Arthur Weasley, and then I was in the snake, and it formed this disgusting chain. Venom or semen, who knows? We mix it together, it makes a... It's a great thing to remove grease from your tires with. Oh, God. And Dumbledore's like, ah... And he gets up and then he...
starts talking to the portraits.
Yeah. Oh, of course, yeah. Because he's like, Everwood, Dillis.
Yes. Because they've got portraits hanging in other esteemed offices.
Yeah.
That they can transport between. Which made me think, how do portraits work? Because portraits inside Hogwarts can run between...
Yeah, so I mean, the ones in Hogwarts can run between paintings, but in general, portraits can only visit other portraits of themselves.
But then in... later on, I didn't write it down now, which is annoying, but later on, a portrait in, I think it might be Phineas Nigella, says that he hangs out in other portraits in Grimwood Place sometimes. So yeah. I wonder if you can...
So you can probably just transfer across like the dwelling that you're in.
Yeah, but just transporting between buildings
Yeah, you can't do unless you've got a portrait.
Unless you've
in
got
it,
a portrait of yourself in that building. It. Yeah.
What I want to know is if you've got two different portraits, what happens when you leave one to visit the other? It wasn't painted like that. So there must have been two of you at one point.
Huh. Yeah. Because so if you're painting a magical portrait of someone who already has a portrait hanging somewhere else, you finish the painting and then it disappears because they're not in there in that moment.
Yeah, that's like how it would have to work.
Or does it? If a painting's being painted of you, you need to once you've completed it, you pull the person away from wherever they are and just.
Yeah, maybe.
Do you know what? I reckon that what would be really interesting is if there's like a whole is if there's like magical laws around it, in that you have to get the consent from the portrait that currently exists. If you wanted to do another portrait of Phineas Nigellus, you would have to get consent from him in his current form and consent to do it in this certain place at this certain time, so that he can be prepared that there's going to be another portal opening up to him.
Yeah, maybe.
That would just be an interesting bit of deep lore that I wonder if exists.
I'm curious. That's another question we should ask JK when we release her from our dungeon. So here he goes, like, Everard, go to the ministry, make sure Arthur is found by the right people. Dilys, no, he just gives that instruction to both of them, and then they both fuck off.
And he also goes up to Fawkes and says, we will need a warning?
Yes.
That word is hard to make out in the audiobook, I found.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
No, that's what he says.
A warning, yeah. And then Fawkes disappears.
Shazam! And Dumbledore's like, ah.
He has learned well.
Oh, Fawkes.
Just have a little fantasy about Fawkes there.
Yeah, just imagine him, laying on like a little sun lounge, a little pair of hot pads. I'm like, hey, man, you look like a hot bird. How about you fry my chicken? And he's like, I'm like, me too.
I love your interpretation of Phoenix Song there.
Well, my other interpretation, it turns out, was the Gremlin song.
No, I don't remember.
Oh, because I went like, and then I was like, no, wait, that's what fucking Gizmo sings to the moon in Gremlins.
Oh.
Yeah, so McGee has conjured up some chairs for them.
Yes. One of the portraits returns and says, Arthur's been found, he's very bloody and he's not in a good way. And Dumbledore asks McGee to go and get the rest of the Weasleys.
Yeah, and they're like, what about Molly? And he's like, I have a feeling that Molly might know already, thanks to that marvellous clock of hers.
So then he tells Phineas Nigellus to go off and tell Sirius that he's going to have visitors at Grimmauld Place. Phineas Nigellus is a little bitch about it, but then does it in the end after all the other portraits scream, insubordination!
Yeah, and Harry's like, he recognised that voice. And then he's like, oh, God, it's the fucking the portrait in his room that had no one in it.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
So I was like, ah!
Like, whoa! Oh, and Dumbledore just casually makes a portkey on his desk.
Yeah, he's like, Portus on this little teapot. I'm like, fucking hell, that's dangerous.
Yeah.
Anyone could do that. Why doesn't fucking Voldemort do that?
Why? How does that not just completely negate that you can't apparate inside Hogwarts at all?
Yeah, it is ridiculous. I mean, I suppose it's the same with the Tri-Wizard Cut, though, isn't it?
Yeah.
But it just makes you think, if you can make a portkey to anywhere, then if you were powerful enough, Voldemort could have just done that and taken all these Death Eaters to fucking Hogwarts, killed Harry in front of everyone during breakfast, and then taken over the world.
Yeah, exactly. Which is why I really liked the idea I had during the third task. The reason that it had to happen during the third task is because they knew that a sort of a bubble around that maze was going to be created.
Yeah.
So that the teachers could quickly apparate inside the maze if they needed to help one of the champions.
Yeah.
So if that little bubble where the maze was exempt from the no apparition rule, so that the teachers can quickly apparate in and out of the maze, if they knew that that was going to happen and that was why they needed it to be specifically in there, but then Moody could have just, as soon as the task starts, Moody could just apparate inside the maze, grab Harry, apparate out. Which could have worked. Anyway, we're revisiting. We've got long chapters to get through.
No. Yeah, so all the fucking kids arrive, and there's a flash of flame in the office and a feather drops, and it's the warning that Umbridge knows that everyone's out of bed.
Oh, yeah.
And Dumbledore's like, McGonagall, go ahead.
Do you think that's Because there's a little bit when McGonagall is on her way with Harry and Ron from the dormitory to Dumbledore's office to see Mrs. Norris. And she just, McGee tells her to shoo.
Maybe.
So maybe that's why that's in there.
Yeah. Yeah, and then so Dumbledore's like, right, everyone touch the portkey on the count of three. One, a two, a three. And then Harry looks up at the last minute.
Yeah, makes eye contact with Dumbledore and get his scar burst into pain, and he gets a overwhelming desire to
bend Dumbledore over and just put it inside. And Dumbledore's like, okay, everyone, hands off the portkey.
Okay, Harry, I'll stop. Harry, I sense something from you there, Harry. I think we should explore that.
Hey, come over to my desk with all the instruments. Yeah, this is what I call a semenic extractor. So this is how it works. And Harry's like, I don't think, no, it's all right. Do you know what, Dumbledore? I wasn't even looking at you. I was looking at the thing behind you.
The window? Yes, let me jump out of that.
And I was like, oh, but we're already here.
I've just got out all my instruments.
Look how shiny they are.
They don't have to be shiny for long, Harry.
Yes, I want them all to match the wood of my table. You know what I'm saying, Harry? And in wizard vernacular, let's get rusty. You know what I'm saying? Fucking hell, and the twins are like, excuse me.
My dad's dying.
Yeah, but no, Harry has an overwhelming urge to hit and attack Dumbledore.
Yeah, bite him.
Yeah, bite, scratch, tear.
Blow him away.
Oh, God, when the portkey takes them away in a rush of swirling colour and blackness and all that kind of jazz, and when they land in the kitchen of Grimmauld Place.
Yeah. And Sirius come blustering in. What's going on? And they have a little shitty argument about wanting to go straight to the hospital, and Sirius...
He was like, look, you guys need to wait and calm your horses. And Fred's like, oh, it's easy for you to say. You've been fucking stuck here doing fuck all for the past 6 months. And Sirius is like, look, your dad knew what he was getting into.
Yeah, Sirius explains quite rightly that it will be way suspicious if you arrive there like minutes after he arrives, yeah, having inexplicably found out. And they're like, we don't care, it's our dad. And I'm like, yeah, I know, but come on, guys.
Yeah, so they all oh, fuck me.
What have you done?
Sorry, I pressed a thing and a thing happened.
Oh, what have I told you about pressing things? You know it makes things happen.
Yes, Tom gave me a very good tip about pressing things.
To make things happen.
Oh, fucking hell. So Sirius is like, look, I know it's hard, but you've just got to put it away until after midnight. It's always hard, Harry. Just got to find places to put it where it won't get in anyone's way. Yeah, I take one of Dobby's socks. Then they try and have a little kip in like their like respective seats, and then at 10 past 5 in the morning, Molly comes bursting through the kitchen, and she's like, "He's going to be okay."
Yes,
and she's like, "Gravy for all," and they're all like, "Yeah!"
And it's like that scene in The Shining with the elevator doors.
You'll get like mugs and like shot glasses. Yeah. Shot, 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 shot. She's like, woohoo.
Oh my God.
Harry's like, let's get rusty.
Yeah. And Sirius goes to call for Creature, and then he doesn't appear, and he's like, oh, fuck it, I'll make some bacon and eggs.
It's like, don't worry, I've got a pig and I've got a chicken.
You just squeeze them, you get bacon and eggs.
Yes, that's how it works, right? And Harry's like, no. Oh, sorry. And then Molly's like, look, because he's in St. Mungo's, it kind of make more sense if maybe we stay here for a little while. It just might mean that we might have to stay here like over Christmas.
Mm.
And Sirius is like, ah, the more the merrier.
Yes.
Yes, Christmas is lovely. It's my favourite time of year. I love when things go red and green. And Molly's like, me too. It's like traffic lights. And Sirius is like, yes.
Or a nasty infection.
One time I got the clap, and because it's wizard clap, things go red and green and your toes fall off. But don't worry. Mum had clap many a time and she said it'll all be all right in the end.
Wasn't though, was it?
No. As you can see, I never take off my socks. Molly's like, thanks for that riveting story,
yes,
Sirius.
I've lost track of how we got here.
My husband is near death, but I'm glad that you've got socks to cover your awful, awful feet. So Harry takes Sirius aside, didn't he? He's like, look, Sirius, this is what really happened in my dream.
Yeah, and he tells him everything all about the what he felt when Dumbledore looked at him, and he says, it feels like there's something inside me, like there's a snake inside me, and...
So he's like, Harry, we've all had a snake inside us. Arthur had one in him tonight. Sometimes it just goes horribly wrong, and you deal with those consequences, Harry.
Oh, it's actually a very emotional bit of the story.
Harry's like, no, I meant like metaphorically.
Sirius is like, oh, don't worry about any of that nonsense. I've got a snake upstairs. I'll get it. I'll show you.
Now, this one's a bit, you might not be used to this kind of size, Harry.
It's all right. Its tail is tapered, though. You can work it in.
Yes, this is a Persian anaconda, you see. only for the experienced wizard. Be careful. This is what killed Uncle Phileas. That's why he's so bitter, you see.
The twins come out and like, oh, you're doing a rusty snake.
So he's like, yes, see, if you take one end and then Fred and George take the other. No, Fred and George, if you kiss, we can make the snake go up one bum, through the mouth, and then out of the other, you see. And Harry's like, I wish I was dead.
But the snake can just go around in circles through both of them forever, you see.
It's the circle of life, Harry. Next morning, Tonks and Moody show up.
Yes.
And they take him to St. Mungo's on the tube.
Yeah, they do.
Yeah. So they arrive in London at this closed department store that looks like it's been shut since the 80s.
Purge and Douse Limited.
Yeah. And Harry's like, what the fuck? And someone walks by and goes, that place is never fucking open.
Yeah. And we get a little bit of a like, because Tonks goes up and like sort of knocks on the glass window and speaks super quietly. And we get almost like back to book one, Harry, of like, but Harry thought there's no way that the doll could hear
that was
Tonks
weird as well.
Speaking so quietly through glass that thick. And then he remembered, there's no way dolls can hear anyway.
Yeah.
And I'm like, fuck off. He's fully like assimilated into the wizarding
yeah,
world now.
Yeah, exactly.
He wouldn't be thinking like that.
Yeah, I thought that was dumb too.
Yeah.
But alas.
Here we are. It's another 10 lashes for JK.
10 lashes and no gruel for you today. Chew on your despair instead. So yeah, they go through the glass in the department store and end up in a fucking hospital. And Harry's like, wow. There's all magical things going on.
All magical things.
They go and ask, look, where the fuck is my husband? And the woman's like, we need to calm down first.
Yeah, yeah.
And she's like, sorry, where the fuck is my husband? And she's like, thank you. Red hair, you must be a Weasley.
Yes.
He's up on this wing.
Yeah.
Like, thank
so
you.
The floors, I thought the names of the floors were quite cool. The first floor is for artifact accidents, exploding
snap
cauldrons and stuff. Second floor is creature-induced injuries, snake bites, etc. Third floor is magical bugs, diseases like dragonpox and whatever. Fourth is potions and plants and poisonings. Fifth floor is spell damage. And fifth floor is visitor's tea room.
Do you mean the sixth?
No. because there's a ground floor, and then the floor up from that is the first floor.
Yeah.
Which doesn't make any fucking sense. But let's not get into that.
What?
So it's ground floor,
yeah,
artifacts.
Yeah.
First floor, creature-induced injuries. Yeah. Second floor, magical bugs. Third floor, potion, plants, and poisonings. Fourth floor, spell damage. Fifth floor, visitor's tea room. I might have said it wrong first time around.
You said floor five for the spell damage one.
Fifth floor for...
Yeah, so you said fifth floor twice. Oh, okay. That's why.
Well, then I said it wrong.
Yeah. So why did you not think it made sense that ground floor...
I just take issue with... It's the way that most buildings in this country work. It's but that we have a ground floor then first floor.
Oh, see, because in America, obviously, the first floor is the ground floor.
Yeah, which I think makes a lot more sense.
I disagree. I prefer having ground floor and then first floor.
Really?
Yeah.
But my issue is, if the ground floor is a floor, then it is definitionally... Then the floor above that is definitionally not the first floor. It's the second floor.
But I was thinking of it as like ground zero. So that being your starting point.
Yeah, but...
So
yeah,
I prefer going up from that.
I get that, and that's kind of the idea. But zero doesn't really exist. You can't think of it as in I have zero apples, and then I have an apple, and now I have one apple. So I've gone from zero to one. But you don't start with zero. You start with a ground floor.
I sort of imagine it as if you imagine the ground floor is the empty bag that says apples on it. So when you put the one apple in, that's the first apple. That's how I sort of imagine it, you know?
That makes more sense.
Yeah.
I guess I could get on board with that line of thinking. But then the ground floor often isn't really that distinct from the rest of the floors.
Maybe not, but I just feel like...
I just think what is clearly the second floor you arrive at being called the first floor is stupid. Because it's always you arrive at the ground floor and then go up to the first floor, meaning the first floor is in fact the second floor you come to.
I see what you mean. I just don't agree, because for me it would be like walking into a room. So you open the door to go into the room and then there's a row of doors, like a load of doors. But then the first door says door number two, because you're counting the door that you came into the room by as door number one. And it's like, I would rather have that as nothing door and then have this first door I see when I'm inside be first door, second door, third door, and so on. Do you know what I mean? That's sort of my... Because the ground floor is like the introduction to the building as such.
But then I think we need... If they're all going to be called floor, I think we need a different word for the ground floor then. Because if it's not a floor in the same way the others are floors, we need different terms for it. Because if they're all floors, then the first floor is the one you come to first, which is the ground floor. And do you know what? Writing this down, I knew we were going to end up in this discussion. And I thought, we're not having that discussion because these chapters are too fucking long as it is.
Let's move on.
Yeah, can we put a pin in that?
Yeah. Giffen's right and Tom's wrong. Okay. So.
But do you know what? I will say you've made more of a case for this method that I don't think makes sense than I have heard anyone make for it before.
Oh, thanks.
So I'll give you that.
they go and see Arthur in his ward.
Yes. And he says he's fine. If they could only take the bandages off, he'd be fine to go home. But when they try and take the bandages off, he keeps bleeding. Something in the snake venom preventing the wounds from healing.
Yeah, and Hermione's like, yeah.
So Hermione's just awful in every conceivable way.
Yeah, Harry's like, I apologise for her. She just likes it when
people
men
suffer.
Bleed. Yeah. Yeah, because they think there's something weird in the venom.
Yeah.
Yeah, like Voldemort.
This venom's got Voldemort in it.
Yeah, there's another guy in the ward and he's been bitten by a werewolf.
Yeah. And he's all, and Arthur says, I've tried to tell him, I know a werewolf, and he manages the condition quite well, it's quite livable. And they're like, oh, what did he say? He said he'd give me another bite if I didn't shut up.
Yeah, because I remember like JK saying that the werewolf thing was meant to be like an HIV analogy.
Really?
I don't think
it's a very good one.
I don't think so either. I think it's just because like Lupin has like what society is deeming as like an incurable sickness.
Oh, societally, and... I suppose. Yeah. Yeah.
So
is that
really
a word?
This...
Socially? I don't know.
I think both are fine.
Good.
If it's not, then everyone can fuck off. It's our podcast.
Agreed.
That werewolf saying shut up or I'll bite you is equivalent of someone with HIV being like shut up or I'm going to ejaculate inside you. And Arthur's like, well, make it quick. My family's on their way here. No, it's okay. I've got snake venom in me. It, you know, cancels the other one out. It's fine.
Which also gives a whole new level of evilness to Lupin's wolfy condoms with the holes in the end. Do you remember that?
Oh, God.
They think they're protected, but they're not, Harry.
Yeah, it's my, what I do, Harry, is that just when I'm about to come, I grab them by the ears and I say, you know what I've got? The way they thrash. The kids are like, look, where were you when this happened? And Arthur's like, I was on holiday in Benidorm. What, without me and mum and stuff? And Arthur's like, yes, I was visiting my secret family who lives in Spain. And Molly's like, Arthur, dear. It's not necessary. But then they're like, look, can you guys leave? We have to have a little private conversation.
Yeah, and they are, the kids are all like, you were guarding it, weren't you? You were guarding whatever whatever's after. And they're all like, shut the fuck up. And
no, I said secret family Benidorm. Yeah. You should see my other wife, Ron.
Molly's like, but there's no way I could be jealous. I've tasted her gravy.
Yeah, it's all spicy and foreign. And Hermione's like, here, take a leaflet. Oh, God. So, like, yeah, the kids are ushered outside, and then Fred and George whip out their extendable ears.
Yes, and they listen through the door.
Because Tonks and Moody have arrived.
Like, oh, yeah, that's it.
So they can have a little chat.
Yeah, they all have a little chat. And they're saying that Dumbledore's worried about Harry, and Moody's all like, well, he should be. He's seeing things from inside Voldemort's snake. Voldemort's possessing him. Yeah. And then Harry, they remove their ears and stare at Harry.
Yeah, and then they start gushing blood because it hurts when you tear things from your body, Tom.
Yes. I just couldn't stand to listen anymore.
And George is like, you know what? This doesn't feel as bad as I thought it would. Oh, God. Then we go into chapter 23.
Chapter
Xmas 23. On the Closed Ward.
Xmas on the Closed Ward.
My favourite Christmas tune. Xmas on the Closed Ward. Look, it's nice and frosty. Can I have a mince pie? Put it in my... What the fuck rhymes with frosty?
Yeah, I know. I can't think of anything. Costly.
Ah, yeah. Can I have a minced pie? No. Fill me up with minced pies. Although it might be costly. But it's like... We fill him up with minced pies. Harry feels dirty and contaminated on the way back to Grimmauld Place.
Yeah, he realizes, or you know, thinks he realizes that he is the weapon that Voldemort didn't have last time, and that Voldemort might be in his head, and he might be listening to my thoughts right now.
Yeah,
which is pretty terrifying, really. Yeah,
so he tries to think of things.
Tries to think of unicorns and sugarcane.
Yeah. But instead, all we can think of is that fucking snake, fucking.
Arthur, repeatedly.
That's how he gets an erection on the tube, and he's like,
serious, it's so hard.
She's like, here, just put this newspaper on top of it.
Like a little tent.
Shall we go camping, Harry?
Yeah. Plenty of snakes in the woods.
Do you want a good tip for a surprise erection?
Are you propositioning me?
When you get a surprise erection, Tom, just find your nearest person and ask them to sort it out.
Ask them if they need a tip. Yeah.
No, if you tense and like a muscle in your body and focus on tensing that muscle, whatever it does, it diverts like the blood away from it. So it'll go down.
Oh, I thought you meant a tip for getting a surprise erection.
Right, well, if you... Then it wouldn't be a surprise.
No, I thought... I guess I thought you just meant like a sudden erection. Or an erection you can surprise people with.
Hey, if I want a sudden erection, Tom, look at this photograph I took.
Do you want a tip from it?
Right, yeah. So they get back indoors.
Yes, and Harry... You go, please.
Harry's scared he's giving Voldemort a clear view of inside Grimmauld Place. And he's like, I gotta get out of here. I'm the chosen one. Get me out of here. Like that.
Just like that. But first he thinks he should just go to Hogwarts, and then he's like, no, not Hogwarts, because that's also got shit that he doesn't want Voldemort to see. It's going to have to be the Dursleys.
Yeah.
So he starts packing up his shit.
Yeah, he's going to make an like actress announcement, I call it. He's going to put on his sunglasses and burst into the kitchen and be like, I'm leaving.
wasn't he planning on just sneaking out?
I thought it'd be fun. He puts on a coat, a scarf, and sunglasses, like, I'm leaving. Don't try and find me.
They're all just, okay, Harry.
It's for your own good.
Yes, we know, Harry. Thank you. You're very honourable. He'll be back. He does this at Hogwarts all the time.
Oh, God, he's not even got socks on. Yeah, so he starts packing his trunk. And yeah, Phineas Nigelius.
Phineas Nigelius. Nigelius?
I mean, you can say whatever you want, babe.
Phineas Nigelius pipes
Then Nigella Lawson comes back. She's like, oh, Harry, so you pack that trunk and then you sprinkle it in worry and then you pull it down the stairs. And that's how you feed a family of five. Thank you.
He's basically just a fucking snide dickhead about it. But
I mean, this is when I text you. I was like, I feel a special kinship with Phineas.
Yeah. I mean, he does make some good points. He tells him that, I mean, when he starts saying that the fucking hubris of youth is thinking that they know everything or deserve to know everything, and do you not think that there's a good reason that Dumbledore hasn't told you all of this, once he starts getting into his actual explanation of why Harry's being stupid, I'm like, yeah, good point.
I agree. I was like, yeah, Harry needs to be told.
Yeah.
Oh, God. So, yeah, Dumbledore's told Harry to stay put, don't go anywhere.
Yes, exactly. Harry falls asleep. And he dreams about the corridor. He reaches the door at the end of the corridor. Something he desperately wants is in there. If only his scar wasn't prickling, he'd be able to think more clearly. Mm. And then Ron wakes him up for dinner. But he doesn't go for dinner.
So does he just stay in his room all day? I mean, all night?
Yeah.
Okay, so it's not until the next day at lunchtime then that he goes down.
Yeah, he's all sullen and moody.
Yeah, because Molly calls out to him. Says, look, lunch is ready. And he doesn't say anything. And then a little while later, he is the door downstairs open. And someone bangs on his door. It's Hermione.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, she's like, look, I came back, I went back to Hogwarts on the night bus. Fucking Umbridge is livid that you guys aren't there. Dumbledore said I have to wait until the end of term before I can come here. So that's what she did. She waited and then she arrived and then she's pounding on Harry's door. She tells him all this.
Yeah, and then there's a little bit where, like, the trio and Ginny are sat around and they ask, like, how Harry is. And Hermione's very direct. She's like, they say you've been hiding. And he's like, oh, do they?
Yeah.
And there's, like, Ginny's like, well, you have. And you haven't even asked me about what it's like. I'm the only one you know that's ever been possessed by you-know-who.
Yeah, and I was like, oh, I'm sorry, I forgot.
Yeah, she's like, oh, did you? Well, it must be nice.
Yeah, and he's like...
So Ginny's description of being possessed is a little bit different than what Harry has felt. She says...
Yeah, she's like...
What does she say?
Can you, like, she's like... she's like, look, did you have large periods of time when you couldn't remember what happened?
Yeah, that's it, yeah.
And then you woke up in strange places.
Yeah, you woke up places and can't remember how you got there.
And I was like, yeah, that was all the fucking time. It's weird because I always seem to end up in Dumbledore's office. And Virginia's like, me too!
Do you feel sore when you wake up?
Yeah, it was always like me, like a bloodied sheet and a fucking a dead rooster. And I was like, what the fuck? I mean, Dumbledore would be like, if you tell anyone,
you'll get in trouble.
Yeah. It's been you who's been opening the Chamber of Secrets, Ginny. I'm going to tell. So I kept it to myself, Harry. And that was my first mistake. The second was believing that Dumbledore had candy.
Yeah, and Harry says, no, he hasn't felt any of that. And that he hasn't hit, but he feels like he's been, you know, suddenly transported to the body of this snake that's like miles away. But Ron tells him he hasn't left his bed. He was watching him, like, you know, kind of riding
Ron's
in
there.
Bed. Yeah,
Ron pokes his head up through the floorboards and he's like, no, Harry, you didn't leave your bed for a second, mate.
I was watching you
the whole time, I swear.
I always watch you sleep.
I've had everything today. Look at all these sketches I have.
Hermione's like, don't show him the sketches, man.
I was like, no, he needs to see Hermione. He shows me and Harry's like, why have you got a sketch of my digestive system? Ron's like, well.
I'm glad you asked.
And Harry looks down, he's like, oh, that's what that scar's for. Yeah, Harry feels relieved. And Sirius is in a fucking good mood because people are going to be there for Christmas, so he's decorating the house.
Yeah.
Singing Christmas songs.
Yeah.
He's like, the bells are ringing out for a Christmas day. And Harry's like, say my favourite line, go on.
They all get presents. Hermione's got them homework diaries.
Yeah.
And I'm just like, I was totally into Hermione in this book. And then this has just reminded me of the side of Hermione that makes me go like, oh, don't be like that.
Yeah.
Don't get them homework planners for Christmas.
You open it up and it says things.
Yeah.
It says like, don't get the blues, kill the Jews. And Harry's like, no, thanks, Hermione. This is a homework diary, you say?
Yeah. Yes.
Yes, it teaches you as you write things in it, Harry. Ron gives him every flavour beans.
Yes, and Hermione has a present for Creature.
Before that, though, Dobby gives him a painting.
Oh, yeah.
Right. And it's of Harry sitting on a chaise lounge with his tits out.
Like one of Dobby's French girls.
Dobby's like, I did ask him if I could cut off his leg and draw that, but he said no. Do you not remember the rest of the sketches in that film? Oh, when he shows Rose the rest of the sketches, there's one that has one leg.
Oh, no.
And she's like, oh, this is very one-leggy. He's like, yeah, that's kind of a gist. And Rose is like, I'm glad you die in the end.
I probably will let go.
No, there's not enough room on this fucking door. Sorry. Yeah. No, I need that space for my feet. Oh. No, my hopes and dreams need to go there. Sorry. Oh, shit, son. The twins arrive as well. And they're like, yeah, Mum's crying in the kitchen because Percy sent his jumper back without a note.
Yeah.
And he didn't ask about Dad or anything. And I was like, that is fucking awful.
Yeah.
That you didn't even, oh my God, even if you're not talking to your family, if it's your dad, like, and you fell out over that, he should have at least gone and seen Arthur on his own.
Yeah.
Or just sent him something, you know.
Well, not just sent the jumper back, that's just super spiteful.
Yeah. He should have sent it back all shredded instead, just to really drive the point home, you know what I mean? Yeah.
Smeared in shit.
Yeah, and on fire.
The rusty jumper.
Oh, God. Covered in gravy. But different gravy. Molly's like, oh, my God. Still covered in Spanish gravy.
It's all spicy and foreign. I hate them. They always ask me if I want guacamole and then charge me extra.
Why do you need two question marks in this sentence? Hermione's like, would you like a homework diary? No, you can just write recipes in it.
Recipes, blueprints.
You know, this makes a special kind of appetizer. Make it with sass, give them gas. There you go.
Make it with intrigue, blitzkrieg.
Roast a s'more, go to Sobibor. There we go. Yeah. And then Hermione, yeah, she says, oh, I got Creature something.
Yeah, she's like, it's a blanket. Hopefully it might, you know, liven up, brighten up his room a little bit. Like, Creature has a room? And she's like, yes.
That's where I spend most of my nights here. See, I know you know all about the tarot, but Kuja has very nimble fingers. And he's good at polishing things, you see.
Yeah. Harry's like, oh yeah, we've developed a handshake.
Harry, when I say that, it's brought a whole new meaning to the term spick and span. Fucking hell, I could see my face in it.
And then Sirius realizes he hasn't seen Creature in ages. And he's like, maybe someone says maybe he's run away. And Sirius is like, no, house elves can't leave. They're bound to the house. And Harry's like, they can. Dobby did. Ran away from the Malfoys.
Yeah, and Sirius is like, ah. Oh.
Well, that's concerning.
Yes, maybe I should tell someone about this. But hey, it's Christmas. Fuck it.
Sure, it's fine. It's not like he has any important information he could give to anyone.
Yeah, let's pull a cracker instead. Hey, toy car.
Mundungus drives them to hospital in a car that Harry's pretty sure is stolen, and it's enchanting to fit like 10 people in the back.
I imagine like the only horse and horses car.
What, the three-wheeled van?
Yeah. Shepherd's bush, 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 bush.
No money back, no guarantee.
No income tax, no VAT. There we go.
Yeah.
God bless Hookie Street.
This is good podcasting.
They're all just fucking trundling down the road, rocking back and forth, and Mundungus is like, God bless Hookie yeah. Street. Viva Hookie Street. And Hermione's like, oh, but he's like, what? She's like, say Magnifique. Yeah!
Yeah!
Magnifique! And Molly's like, I fucking hate you. And why are we all dressed as Batman and Robin? So they go back to St. Mungo's, go and visit Arthur, because it's Christmas Day.
Mr. Weasley looks all sheepish when they get there.
Yes.
Like, he's a bit guilty. And Molly notices immediately that he's had his bandages changed. And he said they weren't going to be changed until tomorrow. Why have they changed them now?
Yeah. And he's like, Molly. Well, I was having a little band with some of the younger members of the Hilo crew. And they said, I'm actually maybe try out a muggle remedy. It's this thing called stitches. And she's like, "Pwah, stitches? Sounds like you're sewing your skin back together."
Yeah, sounds like you've been sewing your skin back together. And then, what do you mean that's the general idea?
Yeah, because they obviously started to back out of the room as he's saying this. But like, yeah, we're going to go and get some tea. And then when they leave, they hear her scream that.
Yeah.
And then Ron's like, fucking hell, that's quite ridiculous. And Hermione's like, well, no, they do work well in, you know, for like muggle wounds. I guess there's something in the snake's venom that keeps on dissolving it.
Mm.
Yeah, so they make their way up to the cafe and they pass a room and see a man peeking out.
Yeah, they pass the... Yeah, because the cafe's up on the top floor.
They're like, fucking hell, it's Jimmy Savile.
What are you doing in the paediatric ward?
Oh, whatever it is, it must be having a good time. I've never seen you look so happy, mate.
What are you fixing today, Jim? They pass the spell damage ward and they see a familiar face with flowy blonde hair and blue eyes.
It's Fleur Delacour.
She's like, oh no. I've been rumbled.
Oh, sorry, I was trying to give myself a magical wash down there, and whoops, I blasted it right off. But as we say in France, un kilometre à pied, ça vous a... I was like, do you know what, we'll fix that right arm, some bat on decal. And she's like, oh, thank you. Oh, yeah.
Ah, yes, le glue.
You know how this is made, bro. Now they seal Gilderoy Lockenheart.
Yes.
Gilderoy von Vockenheart. Gilderoy Lockhart.
Yes. He seems well.
He does seem well. He seems fighting fit. He seems like he's not got any sort of viral infection.
No.
Yeah. So yeah, Gildor is there. They're like, the nurse is like, oh, he's got visitors for
yeah,
once.
I guess she guilt trips them into coming to see him, and they're like, oh, whatever. So they go into the ward.
He's got loads of pictures above his desk, bed that he's signed to himself. And she's like, oh, it's really good that he's signing this stuff. And then they look across the ward, and Harry sees across from Gilderoy, there's a wizard.
Is there?
Yeah, and he's in a bit of a daze still. And the healer witch comes out to give everyone their presents, and someone has sent him a calendar and a pot plant, and everyone needs to remember that.
I completely skimmed over that. I can't even remember that happening.
Yeah, it becomes a thing.
Then Harry hears, oh, you're leaving, Mrs. Longbottom? And Harry tries to like act like he hasn't heard it and distract the others from seeing, but Ron sort of calls out Neville when he sees him with his grandmother. And then they come over and she's like, oh, you must be the Potter boy, and you must be Ron Weasley, and you must be Hermione Granger. Neville's told me all about...
Yeah, you've helped him out of a few sticky spots, she says.
And into like, a few.
Yeah.
yeah, she mentions that, you helped him out of a few sticky spots. Neville doesn't have his father's talent, with a nod over to the bed. And Ron's like, what?
Yeah, is that your dad?
Yeah.
And Neville's like, wants the ground to fucking swallow him up.
I know. And what I quite liked was, it says Harry tries to stamp on his foot, but that seems much harder to pull off subtly in jeans than it is in robes.
Yeah. Should have just stuck him with a needle instead.
There's probably a few of them about. They're in a hospital.
Yeah. Just take one from the waste disposal bin and be like, I don't know what this is, Ron. It's going to be fucking exciting finding out. Oh, God. And then Neville's grandma's like, what? You haven't told them about your parents? Are you ashamed of them? And he's like, I'm not ashamed. Mm. And she's like,
yeah, she
Alice
tells
and,
them.
Is it Frank and Alice? Yeah. Frank and Alice Longbottom were tortured into insanity by Voldemort's followers.
Bellatrix Lestrange.
Oh, did she say the name?
Yeah.
Oh, okay. And then, yeah, and then all of them are like, fuck.
Yeah.
And Neville's like, oh, and then Alice pops over.
Yeah, she sort of like glides over, absent faced.
She gives him a fruit.
Yeah,
she. And he's like, I don't want the clementine. No, she gives him gum wrappers.
Yeah, and his gran's like, oh, again, dear. And Neville sort of looks at them all like daring them to laugh. And Harry says he didn't think ever found anything less funny
in his entire life. Yeah. I found that really hit.
Yeah,
I think.
Yeah. And Neville's gran tells him to just drop the wrapper. You must have thousands of them by now. But Harry says he's pretty sure he sees Neville slipping it into his pocket.
Yeah.
Oh, no, sorry. This is it. His gran does just say they were tortured into insanity by Voldemort's followers. And then later on, Hermione and Ron are saying, like, oh, my God, I had no idea. And Harry's like, yeah, I knew someone. Who was it that told him?
Dumbledore.
Was it Dumbledore? Yeah.
He said that he made me promise not to tell anyone.
Yeah, and then Harry tells them it was Bellatrix Lestrange.
Yeah, he's like, that's what she went to Azkaban for.
Yeah.
Everyone's like, oh. I thought it was for selling 40 radios, but okay. No one was like, much more serious than that. but I love your spirit. God bless Hooky Street.
And then Lockhart just says, look, I did learn joined up writing for nothing, you know.
I really liked that.
Yeah.
I thought that was cool. I like Stephen Fry's voice for Lockhart. I like his voice for everyone.
I don't like his voice for Tonks. It's starting to grate on me now.
That's because she's a fucking bitch, Tom.
Yeah, I don't really know what Lupin sees in her, to be honest. The fact that she can change form at will, I suppose.
I mean, that's kind of it, I think, isn't it? He's like, being with her makes me feel like I'm not a wolf anymore. Because she can become more wolf than I ever could. She can become a Great Dane, Harry. Harry's like, ew. Oh, that's gross. Right, chapter 24.
And chapter 24 also happens. Thank you, that's been poorly read this week.
Chapter 24, Clemency. So Snape gets inside Harry's head and fucks him up. And then
Creature has reappeared at Grimmauld Place and Harry's suspicious.
Yeah, because he's wearing lipstick now. Harry's like, well, I can see that you've been to Hooky Street. Oh, fucking hell. Right, Sirius is becoming more prone to fits of the sullens, as Molly calls it.
Yeah, because he knows they're all leaving him, going back to Hogwarts.
I felt so sorry for him. I really did.
Yeah,
They should just Polyjuice potion him up and then let him like roam about, let him go live in a little flat in like, I don't know, let him go live with the Weasleys.
Yeah.
In fact, why can't he just go and live with the Weasleys? Maybe Molly's like, oh, fuck.
Yeah, I mean, I may imagine probably neither him.
I ain't having even my fucking house.
Yeah, neither him nor Molly want that, I imagine.
Yeah. Molly's like, I just can't control myself around you. He's like, I know, Molly, but try and fight it.
You know we all love your gravy, but there's only so much we can deal with.
Yes, you know I love to plunder your cavernous depths, but... it's not fair on Arthur, you see. Oh, God. Oh, she's like, fuck Arthur, I like a man who's got a bad mustache and shitty tattoos. And he's like, well, Hermione does too, believe it or not. Oh my God, sorry. Right, so on the last fucking day before they go back to school.
Yeah, Molly comes up to speak to Harry and she tells him to come downstairs as Professor Snape would like a word. And they're all like,
yeah.
Say what?
And he goes downstairs.
Because Professor Snape would like a word.
Yeah, and Snape's like, butterscotch. And then walks out. Oh, God. And Sirius is like, you know, say what you want about Snape. The man's got style. Yeah. Oh, fuck me.
He tells Harry that on Dumbledore's wish for him to learn occlumency. You are to tell no one. If anyone asks, you're doing remedial potions.
He should have just said, I'm not doing anything.
I'm just going to see Snape privately several times a week.
I'm going to see Snape privately. And he doesn't do anything and he's nice to me all the time.
He doesn't invade me in any way. Yeah. Sirius and Snape get into a pissy little bitch fight.
That was so ridiculous. They both end up pulling out their wands and fucking...
Yeah, it's more test. Just like people just rising to shitty comments that you just wouldn't...
Because he's like, look, if I find out you've been using these lessons to give Harry a hard time... Snape's like, well, what are you going to do? Just sit here and do nothing as fucking usual?
Yeah.
You're worse than a fifth wheel. You're worse than my mother on my birthday. She was like, oh. Oh, Snape. Yeah, and then fucking Arthur comes back from the hospital and he's like, I'm cured! And he sees the scene in front of him.
Yeah, and then Snape... just casually walks past without a word.
Yeah, he shazams out of there.
Yeah, he shazams out. Sirius is just in a shitty mood for the remainder of their time there. And then they go back to Hogwarts on the night bus. So it can go to Hogwarts.
Yeah.
And also jump all around the country at will. So why don't more people do it? Why does everyone get this travel to King's Cross?
To be fair, I would rather get the train, I think.
Well, I would, given that I live in London.
I reckon then that students who live in Scotland, or close, students who live up north, they probably do. Well, because it's like getting on like a coach trip when you could get like the train. You'd rather get on the coach trip just having the fun time with your friends.
Yeah, I guess. But yeah, Harry says he didn't want to say goodbye to Sirius as it feels like a significant parting.
Yeah, and Sirius says, look, take this. If you need to speak to me at any point, use this. If
yeah,
giving
use
you a hard
it
time.
If you need my, if you ever need me.
And Harry's like, he's pretty sure he wasn't ever going to use what Sirius gave him. He didn't want to give him any excuse to break Dumbledore's rules and come and find him.
Yeah, exactly.
Which is like Harry's biggest mistake in this entire fucking book. Because Sirius gives him the two-way mirror. So when the whole thing was happening, he could have just used the two-way mirror to check if Sirius was in Grimmauld Place.
Oh.
Yeah. She shouldn't have introduced it into the book.
Why?
Because Harry finds it at the end of the book and he's like, fuck. And it's like, oh my God, I just think it's... it breaks my heart, and I think it's...
But that's why it's a good addition to the book.
But it could have solved everything so easily that it's...
Yeah, exactly, and he didn't use it because of what...
I hate things like that. I'd rather...
But he didn't know what it was. He just thought it was going to call on Sirius.
But I hate when things that could be within a character's control like that. I'm fine with the creature thing, because Harry did his best in that situation. There was, you know... But like,
yeah, but I think it's definitely in Harry's character, in keeping with Harry's character, to act the way he did and to not use the thing.
No, totally, yeah, but I hate that there was a thing that could have saved Sirius.
But that's why it's so agonising.
Yeah, but I hate that kind of thing in a book. I just do.
I get what you mean, but because I've heard you say that before, and I take it that to mean characters making, even when the characters have all the information, making decisions that only further the plot.
Yeah, so Harry decided not to even look at the thing that Sirius gave him. I think it's just like, it's just, to give him the exact thing he would have needed to solve everything, they just happen to not use that. It just bugs me a lot.
But then is it not Sirius's fault for not telling him what it is?
No, because he put the note in the package just to like tell him.
Hmm.
So if because that's how Harry knows it was a two-way mirror. He says, "Oh, this is a two-way mirror that me and your father used to use in detentions. Just how we used to keep up with each other and stuff." Yeah. Anyway, it just bugs me.
Huh.
But let's carry on.
I think it's good. I think it's good writing because it's agonizing in that way.
Yeah, it's not badly written. It's not bad writing. I hate things like that in a book. I really do.
I guess. The night bus sounds fucking awful. Maybe that's why more people don't get it to Hogwarts.
Yeah, there's no fucking seatbelts or anything.
Yeah.
Fucking one which is shopping goes flying out everywhere.
Yeah. Okay, yeah, answer my own question there. That's why people don't get the night bus more. Because it's a fucking awful way to get about.
Just fucking fly to Edinburgh and then just fucking get a cab. Yeah, and Stan Shumpert's like, "I've seen your name loads in a paper this summer, Harry. Fucking hell." And I was like, "To Ernie, it didn't seem like a nut, did he, Ernie? Just goes to show you, didn't it?"
Yeah.
And I'd have been like, "Do you know what, Stan? Why don't you fucking sit on my dick, you fucking arsehole?"
Why don't you lie your pimpled face under the tyres of this bus?
Oh, fucking hell. Ugh. I have like horrible like visiony things of seeing someone's head run over by a car, because someone I know once said that they saw someone die by falling in front of a bus, and that happening, and when they told me that, I couldn't get it out of my head. So you saying that, it just like triggered me again.
So what I was imagining was Stan laying his head down on the tarmac.
Oh, god. So they arrive at Hogwarts and Harry's like, "Fuck, I hate being back."
Yeah, he does. He's dreading the evening. And then out of nowhere, Cho comes round, pulls him out of his thoughts, says hi, and he gets his Chona back.
He's like, "Hi, I got a little place nearby. Wanna go?" And Harry's like, "I should have said no."
I don't know what that is.
Trelawney's waiting for me. That's Backstreet Boys.
Oh.
The second best boy band of all time. Oh, shots fired. No, because everyone keeps on coming up. Go on.
No, nothing.
No, what were you going to say?
I was going to say, well, maybe if some of our listeners care about those particular shots.
Everyone does. NSYNC forever. Right, so everyone keeps on coming up to him and being like, "Look, when's the next DA meeting?" And he's like, "I can't do it tonight because I've got remedial potions." He's like, "Yeah, what are you fucking idiot, taking remedial potions? Gosh, your mother must be ashamed of you." Oh, wait, she's dead, isn't she, Potter?
Scoff, scoff, scoff.
Is he chewing a toffee? And Ron's like, "Do you want me to curse him?" And I was like, "No, it's fine. He's right, isn't he? My mum would be ashamed." Ron's like, "Yeah."
At least you can admit that.
Don't worry, at least she left you some gravy. Oh, she didn't know, did she? Ah! Don't worry, I'm Sam with my mum's. And he scoops out some, smears it on Harry's mouth. Oh, don't you look like a little advert? No. And then
Cho comes along, yeah. And he turns around and he's like, "Oh, Harry, you're covered in puss again."
And I was like, "No, I just got a fucking Molly Wizard's gravy all up in my gob."
It's like, ah.
No, she's like, "Harry, yeah, I don't know if you know, but..."
There's another Hogsmeade visit scheduled, and it's on Valentine's Day.
And Harry's like, "Well, I suppose you..." And he thought she was... And he was going to say, "Oh, I suppose you want to know when the next DA meeting is." But she cuts him off and goes, "Oh, only if you do." And he's like, "What?"
Yeah, that doesn't... Wait, he's like, "Wait, what?"
He's like, "What?"
And then she's like, "Oh, okay, never mind." And yeah, walks off.
Yeah, never mind. And fucking then hell. I put the pussy on the table. Fine if you don't want to fuck it. But yeah, he runs the afternoon and he's like, "Oh, no, Cho, I do. Ooh." She's like, "Ooh, loves orange soda." He's like, "Harry loves orange soda." And he's like, "I do want to go to Hogsmeade with you on Valentine's Day." She's
yeah.
Like, "Cool, pick me up at 6. And he's like, "Okay.
Great. Will do." 6 p.m. arrives and he enters the dungeon.
Yeah, 6 p.m. till I come. Do you remember that song, 9 p.m. till I come?
No.
Change it and see.
I know that.
Till I come.
You do an awful lot of dancing on this podcast.
So it gets to a point where we're both tired, where I feel like I turn into like the naughty kid.
I'm just desperately trying to plow forward. And you're just like, oh my God, do you remember this song?
I just get really mischievous.
Yeah, for me, songs like that are songs that don't have artists or titles. They're just sort of 90s noises that I vaguely remember.
Oh, I love them.
Yes.
Till I come.
I love them till I come.
And yeah, then that's my mantra throughout life, Tom.
Not so much afterwards. The post-nut clarity really hits hard on those.
Post-nut clarity, fucking hell. If that ain't a coffee mint, I don't know what it is. Fucking hell, yeah. So he gets to Snape's office and Snape's like, thank you for coming. I was like, yeah, you said 6 p.m. So it's like, till I come.
And now you have come.
Change it and see. right, yeah. And then
Snape gives a shitty little intro, and Harry asks why, and Snape says, the Dark Lord's skilled legilimens.
Yeah, legilimens.
He's like, yeah, he can read minds?
Like, the mind is not something that can be fucking read like a book. It's a series of antechambers that you use a swipe card for, and then you investigate and find an alien in one, and then you leave, and then you make a movie about it.
I love Sigourney Weaver.
Oh my God. Oh God. I mean, Harry's like, it sounds like mind reading to me, but each to their own.
I mean, it sounds like mind reading to me as well.
Yeah, I mean, Snape's like, I can't be able to do the impression.
The Dark Lord can always, is a skilled legilimens, and he can almost always tell when someone is lying. Only a skilled occlumens can obscure the truth to only have thoughts that support the lie. Do you understand me, Potter?
And he shakes him about the head. And I was like, yes, I understand.
Yes. And Snape then, before they get started, deposits a couple of his memories in a pensive.
Oh my God, I don't get how the pensive works then. Because he puts the thoughts in the thing so Harry doesn't accidentally see his thoughts.
Yeah.
But how does he know what thoughts he's put in the fucking bowl then?
Yeah, how does he remember that they even... Does he just remember, I put some thoughts in there and I know I need to remember to put them back, but I can't remember what they were?
It must be that, right? It's like it's... Ugh.
Yeah.
It's, I don't know, maybe there's... Maybe when you do that, it's like a really thick, like, thought that comes out. Maybe when you are just taken out to observe it, it's like a thinner sort of consistency of thought that comes out.
All sounds like gravy to me.
Well, one looks like Preco. Oh, God. Yeah, so they start, and Snape's like, Lodulamons, and then Harry sees all the things from his life.
Yeah, sorting hat, Hermione's furry face.
Yes.
Cho. Leaning in under the mistletoe.
Praying to not let him die and falling on her knees. Harry comes back round, sees Snape furiously jerking off into the pensive. It's like once it falls inside, it just matches the rest of it, you see.
Witness the memories of my unborn children.
It all sticks to the wand.
And then Snape says...
Oh, sorry, just quick, just to... Because Harry says that, why do I need this? And Snape's like...
We think that the fact that you could see inside the snake means that there's a link between the thoughts between you and Voldemort. So far, we feel like Voldemort has been unaware of this connection, but we feel that that night when you was inside the snake, Voldemort was also possessing the snake. Therefore, he may have been aware of your presence. We don't want him to reverse engineer this connection. Exactly.
And that's why they do it.
Exactly.
So they do like zap, 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 zap. Harry fails every time. Snape's like, you must clear your mind, brother. Yeah.
And on the last one, Harry has a glimpse of a windowless corridor that he's used to seeing in visions and is expecting to walk down it. But Arthur Weasley steers him away and he realizes that it's the Department of Mysteries that Arthur steered him away from when he went for his trial at the Ministry. And Harry, and the, when Harry comes out of that one, Snape's like, what was that? And Harry's like, what's in the Department of Mysteries? And he's like, why?
Why do you ask?
And what I've written is he tells Snape exactly why he asked.
Yeah, he's like, look, because I've seen that thing before and I keep on dreaming about it. And Arthur took me past him and took me for my hearing.
And he's like, there are many things there, Potter, a few of which you would understand and none of which concern you.
And Harry's like, fine then, fucking hell. And Snape's like,
look, I want you to go away and never return. No, wait, I want you to go away and I want you to practice clearing your mind before bed.
So like meditation, basically.
Yeah, make it blank and I'll know if you haven't practiced.
Yes.
And then just before Harry leaves, he sees Snape replacing the memories into his head.
Yes.
He's like, whoops, sperm again.
So Harry fucking goes back to the common. No, he goes to see the others in the library and he tells them about what's happened.
Yes, and he feels shitty and shaky and feverish. And he tells them all about the Department of Mysteries. That's where the thing the Order is guarding is.
Yeah.
They go back to the common room. Fred and George have made headless hats.
Yeah, that's really cool.
Yeah, that sounds like a lot of fun. That sounds like a good wheeze, isn't it? Eh?
Yeah, make your head disappear.
Yeah. And he says, oh, I can't do this homework now. I feel too shit. And Hermione's like, make sure you write it in your homework planner.
Yeah, he opens it up and it says, don't leave it till later, you big second rater.
Yeah, it's not Holy Communion. Invade the Soviet Union.
Be a studious figure. Don't marry her. And then he's like, slap. And he throws it in the fireplace. Oh, God. So, yeah, he goes up to bed.
And suddenly struck by intense pain and is sort of transported away and suddenly feels that he's, like, stupidly happy and is maniacally laughing and his scar hurts and all that shit.
Yeah, because when he comes back around from his little, like, foray into madness, he's laughing and he's like, Voldemort's really happy about something. Something that he was hoping for has happened. So Harry goes to bed that night and he's like, he wonders what had happened to make Voldemort the happiest he had been in 14 years.
Yes. And that is the end of chapter 24.
And our sanity, it seems.
Yes. God, those chapters were so fucking long.
I know. Oh, God. So join us next week for more calamity. Visit us on Instagram at PolyRedPod. Visit us on Twitter at PolyRedPod. Email us at polyred@gmail.com. Give us 5 stars on Apple Podcasts and leave us a little cheeky review. We love reading them. And it helps us be cool, I guess.
Yes, it does.
Yeah, so I've been Gifton.
And I've been Tom.
And Sigourney Weaver's been Sigourney Weaver.